The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
Today we are we're in part two of our series that we started last week called Honest to God. And in this series, I'll just tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to demystify prayer, simplify prayer, so that we pray more often and pray more honestly. That's it. That's the agenda we have for this series. That's our hope. That's our prayer for you. That's our prayer for all of us, is that we would pray more often and we would pray more honestly as a result of this series. And last week, Leslie got us off. She did just an exceptional job. I thought she got us kicked off in such a great way of this series. And she said something last week that just struck me. It kind of stopped me. I typed it in my phone real quick. And this is what she said at one point. She said, if we want a growing relationship with God, not talking to God is not an option. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, then not talking is not an option. Why? Because here's what you and I both know. We all know this, right? Every meaningful relationship that you and I have in our life is built on what? It's communication. I mean, you know that. I know that. We know that. The most meaningful relationships in our lives are all built on communication. Us talking, us listening. And you know, relationship with God's no different. It's no different. In fact, if you were to define prayer, here's maybe the simplest definition of prayer. If you want to think about it in the simplest form, prayer is just having a conversation with God. That's what it is. At the end of the day, prayer is having a conversation with God. Now, I'll just shoot straight with you. Growing up, I grew up in the church. I grew up around a lot of followers of Jesus, a lot of Christians. I spent a lot of time with Christians who prayed. And that word right there, for some of them at least, when I heard them pray, that word conversation would not have been a word that I would use to describe what I heard. You know the word I would have used to describe what I heard when I heard some people pray? It was presentation, not conversation. That would have been a little bit more adequate description, presentation. In fact, here's what I noticed. When I heard some people pray when I was growing up, when they started praying, their voice changed. It got a little deeper, more reflective. And they started using words that they didn't use talking to people just a minute before. They started using thou arts and thine presences, and hedges of protection somehow made their way in there as well. And I'm like, hey, 30 seconds ago, we were talking about the Eagles. What are we doing now? Like, what happened? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now, because you have only seen, like, the people you've heard pray, you know, you grew up in situations like that, and the only prayers maybe that you ever heard were like these really sanitized, safe presentations. And yeah, here's what's crazy. If you were to read the Bible, the kinds of prayers that you see men and women of faith praying, they're not real polished. They're not real concerned about a presentation. In fact, it won't take you long when you read the Bible to come across prayers that may shock you in how raw and honest they are. I'll show you just a few. This is a prayer that Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah, the prophet, a man of God. This is what he prayed at one point. Oh, Lord, you misled me. And I allowed myself to be misled. You're stronger than I am, and you overpowered me. Do you understand what he's saying here? It's like, God, you lied to me. You said it was going to be this way. You said I'd be protected, and here I am. I'm getting in harm's way. And God, what happened? You misled me. Guys, that's borderline irreverent. Does it feel that way to you? No, it's just honest. Here's another prayer. This is Elijah, another prophet, another man of God. He said this. He said, I've had enough, Lord. This is his prayer. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I won't be here anymore. For I'm no better than my ancestors who've already died. That's a prayer. I'll show you one more. This is Hannah's prayer. We could go on and on about this. I'll just show you this last one. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah got up and went to pray. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Why? Well, go read 1 Samuel 1. You should read it at some point. It's an incredible story. You know why she was crying out in deep anguish, praying to God? It's because her and her husband were trying to have a baby. They couldn't have a baby. See, look, the real shocker is not that these prayers are prayed. The real shocker is that they weren't removed from the Bible. In fact, they're held up as examples. They're held up as models for us for how to talk to God, about how we can be honest to God. The Bible is full of honest, raw, real conversations with God. Apparently, God isn't grading your prayers as if you've got to get it right any more than you grade your own children when they come to talk to you. And if you do that, that's another sermon for another time. You got issues. But God just wants you to talk. He just wants you. He just wants honesty. He just wants to talk. And then Jesus simplified it way. He simplified it even more when he comes along and he talked about prayer in this way. This is what Jesus said one way. He said, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And Jesus is saying, look, I came into this world to make God known to you. That's why I'm here. And I came to bring you back into relationship with God. And let me tell you what God is like. Jesus is saying, let me tell you what God is like. He is a God who invites us to ask and seek and knock, to come to him and talk. So let me just throw out a question to you in light of that. A question that was put in front of me a couple weeks ago that, to be honest, just kind of wrecked me. See, if Jesus said, man, that's the God, that's what God wants. Just come, ask, bring yourself to him. Here's a question. If you got everything you asked God for this last week, just think about the last 7 days. If you got everything you asked God for the last week, would your life look any different today? And you know why that question wrecked me a few weeks ago when I saw it? Because I thought about the last 7 days and I thought, I don't know if it would. See, here's my guess. My guess is that most of us are not at risk of praying the wrong way, which, by the way, isn't even possible. You can't pray a wrong way. My guess, though, is most of us, we're not at risk of praying the wrong way. Most of us just aren't even praying. We're just not even asking. We're not even taking up. Most of us aren't taking Jesus up on the single greatest offer that he makes related to the relationship that he wants to have with us. We just don't even ask. Which begs the question, why? Why don't we ask? I think there's a couple reasons. I think for some of us, sometimes we don't ask God for, you know, we don't pray because we just doubt that God cares. If we were being completely honest, we just doubt that God cares. It's almost like in the grand scope of things, like in all that God has to figure out in this world, it's like, is the thing that's concerning me right now really that big a deal to God? Jenny and I, we try to, you know, when we can, we try to carve out time on Friday mornings to go grab breakfast, have a little bit of a breakfast date. And so we were doing that this Friday, last Friday, and we got through the breakfast. You know, we'd been there like an hour, 15 minutes. We got through the breakfast. We're leaving, we're out in the parking lot, and Jenny says, I never got my water. I'm like, the whole meal? You never got your water? She's like, no. I go, why didn't you ask? Now, let me ask you real quick, by the way, how many of you, how many of you, you're the people, you're like, hey, if I don't get my water, I'm not going to probably bother the person, right? How many of you are like, no, I'm getting my water. Like, I'm getting it. All right. Look, now we know who not to make mad. All right. So she's like, I didn't ask because it was the waitress, you know, the server. It was her first day working. She's like, I just didn't want to, you know, bother her, whatever. And here's the funny thing. See, we do this to God sometimes. It's the idea. We do this very thing to God. It's like, I don't want to put him out. He's got bigger things on his mind than me. He's already got enough he's doing. Like, the last thing he needs is for me to remind him of my little cup of water. That's how we feel sometimes. We doubt that he even cares. Sometimes we don't ask so because it feels selfish. We feel selfish. Like, is it okay to ask for the new job? When I know some people are not even, they don't even have a job right now. Is that okay? I feel selfish. Like, is it okay to ask that I get into that specific school? Shouldn't I just be grateful for any school? Is it okay? You know, am I being selfish by thinking about things that I desire? Sometimes we don't ask, just feel selfish. Sometimes we don't ask because we're just afraid of doing it wrong. That's why we don't pray. It's like, I'm not eloquent. I'm not confident. I heard all those thou arts and thine presences, and I don't know those words, and I don't know how to do that. And besides, you want to kind of layer on top of this one, some of us grew up in traditions, in faith traditions, or maybe around religious circles where you were taught that the people who pray are the priest or the pastors, and nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we see in the book of Hebrews that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, anyone in Christ, anyone, can come boldly, that's the word the writer of Hebrews used, boldly into the presence of God. You don't need to go through anyone else. But sometimes we just don't, you know, we're afraid of doing it wrong. And here's the last one. Sometimes we don't ask, we don't pray because we just don't know what to say. We just don't really know what to say. How do you get the conversation going. And you know, sometimes for me, when I don't know what to say, you know what's helpful is just a conversation starter. You ever been somewhere and they had little conversation starter cards on the table or whatever? Sometimes that just helps get things going. It helps every now and then to get conversation starters. And so listen, over this series, we're looking to the Psalms as our guide to discovering how to be honest with God. And if you're newer to the Bible or you're newer to the whole thing, the Psalms is a collection of about 150 prayers right in the middle of the Bible. If you were to take a Bible, open it up in the middle, you're probably going to end up in the Psalms. And you know what the Psalms are? The Psalms are like 150 conversation starters. It just helps us get prayer going. It just helps give language sometimes. It helps us start talking. And so what I want to do today, I want to look at one particular psalm that serves as a conversation starter with God, especially when we're facing challenges. And I would love for us to read this psalm together, Psalm 143. I'd love for you to see it. If you're in one of our rooms right now, there's Bibles around you if you need one. It's page 477. Scroll there on your mobile device. If you're watching online, you're at home, get there online, get there on your Bible app, YouVersion app, whatever you need to do. Just get to Psalm 143. I want us to see this together. Psalm 143. This psalm, this prayer was written by a king. It was written by a man named David, who has such an intimate relationship with God, as you'll see here in just a second. Now, when we read this psalm together, I want you to remember, as we read these words, we're going to do something a little bit different. Don't usually do this. I'm going to read the entire psalm. We're going to read it all together. And as we do this, I want you to remember as we're reading this, this is a prayer that is recorded for us, which means it is a script. It is a conversation starter for how we can pray. All right, Psalm 143, look at verse 1. We'll start there. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. He's like, man, I need your grace, God. I know who I am. My enemy has chased me down. He has knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I'm losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all of your great works and think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. Stop there for a second. You know, lifting your hands, this is a posture statement, isn't it? This is a physical act he's saying. Sometimes if you look around, especially if you're newer to church, you might see people raise their hands when we're worshiping or singing or whatever. What is that? There's nothing magical about that. You know what it is? It's a posture. It's like a child who reaches for their loving parents and says, man, I need you. That's what we're doing when we raise our hands. David's saying, man, I raise my hands to you, God, in surrender. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. Come quickly, Lord, to answer me, for my depression deepens. That's real. Don't turn away from me or I'll die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I'm trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bring me out of this distress and your unfailing love. Silence all my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I'm your servant. So you want me to sum up this prayer? I'm gonna sum it up. Here's what David's praying. God, help me. There's your conversation starter. That's a pretty good place to start sometimes when you just go, I don't really know how to start praying. That's a good one. God, help me. That might be right there one of the simplest, most heartfelt prayers you can pray. And you know when you're most likely to pray this prayer right here? It's when we feel like we hit a moment in life when we've lost a little bit of control. You ever been there? You ever felt out of control? Or let me ask another way. Have you ever flown on an airplane? I was flying a couple weeks ago, and you know, the attendant, they're getting everything set up. There's, you know, before you pull away from the gate and all that, and so they're telling you to buckle your seatbelt and all that. And I don't know why I do this. This is kind of me airing my dirty laundry. I'm the guy, I won't buckle my seatbelt just to make a point. Just, I don't know why. I'm just something in me. Like, because you told me to buckle my seatbelt, no, I'm not. And anyways, I don't know why I just told you that. But anyways, That's me. There you go. Not perfect. But so they're going through the whole like buckle your seatbelt kind of spiel. And you know how then they have you listen to the instructions in case of an emergency. And you know how no one listens? You know that moment? Okay, so that's the moment we're at. So the woman, the flight attendant gets on the speaker and says, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for flying with us today. I want you to know something. We have been trained that in the case of an emergency, we've been trained to prioritize your life over ours. And we've committed that. We've committed to that. What I'm asking for you to do right now is take 30 seconds and just listen to these instructions. Man, I listened. Everybody listened. That plane was, I was buckling another person's seatbelt. I was like, yes, whatever you need. By the way, that is a masterclass in leadership and communication, by the way. To create urgency, that's how you change behavior. Everyone listen, man. And I was suddenly made more aware in that moment that I am not really in control of very much right now. And listen, control just in general, that's kind of a myth. You know that, right? You're really not in control of anything. Like, it's kind of a myth. I hope that's not a surprise to you. But then there's particular moments in life, there's particular seasons of life that we're just made even more aware of that, aren't we? The car accident. Phone call you wish you would have never gotten. The financial hole you feel overwhelmed by. A broken relationship. A project at work feels like it's got you in over your head. A kid who falls into habits that are hurting them. Parents that tell you they're getting divorced. You know what those are? Those are God help me moments. Those are God help me moments. And apparently David was in a God help me moment right now. David faced more moments than we have time to talk about today where life got way out of control for him. Sometimes it was because of his own doing. Sometimes it was because of others. At one point, David caught the jealous eye of King Saul who hunted him down, forced him to flee and to live as a refugee in the wilderness, hiding out in caves to ensure that he wouldn't be killed by Saul. At another point later in life, David was forced to run again, this time because his own son, Absalom, had launched a coup against him. His own son was hunting him down at this point. See, you thought your family was jacked up, right? And then there were self-inflicted wounds. Those are from other people. Then there were self-inflicted wounds that David took on because of his own sinful decisions at certain points in life. At one point, David took one of his friend's wives, impregnated her, and then killed her husband. See, you should read the Bible. This is in there. And his family was left as a wreck as a result. And whether it's circumstances that he's brought on himself or circumstances that have been thrown onto him, this is a man who knows what it feels like to face moments where everything feels out of control. And every single time that happens, it leads him to pray. Pour his heart out to God. And I just want to point out three things that David did in this God help me prayer in Psalm 143 that can serve as a guide for us. When we face our own moments, that things feel a little bit out of control. The first thing is this: David just faced the facts of his circumstances and he brings them before God. God help me prayers always start with facing the facts. Remember how that psalm started? Very first verse. The enemy has chased me. God, I'm gonna tell you this. Not like God doesn't know. David's just acknowledging it. He's bringing it before God. He's saying, man, the enemy has chased me. He's knocked me to the ground. He forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I don't know about you, but I understand. I know my circumstances are different than David's. Yours are different than mine. But I get this. Because I've felt in the dark before. I've felt knocked to the ground before. I've felt like I can't get away from the circumstances of my life that are heavy and weighing on me. You ever had someone that you trusted betray you? You ever had the sins of your past creep up into the present, bringing all sorts of shame with it? You ever felt discouraged? You ever had a dream and vision for your life that wasn't being realized? See, he faces the facts of his life at the moment. He lays out his case to God in prayer. He's feeling like things are piling up against him. God, it feels like I'm in the dark right now. It feels like the news I just received knocked me to the ground. And let's just get a little bit more specific. See, sometimes those God help me prayers are like this. God help me, I'm scared. That's a fact. That's just reality right now. God, help me. I'm scared. Do you remember what he said in verse 4? I'm paralyzed with fear. Remember that? Sometimes we need to pray that. I'm scared about the future. I'm scared about the diagnosis. And God cares about it all. I'm scared that I'll lose my starting spot next year. He cares about that. I'm scared that what will happen if we break up. I'm scared about what I'm seeing happen in my kid's life. Now, I've seen shirts and, you know, signs over the years that say faith over fear, which I understand. I'm all for that. But the way we move past fear isn't just to pretend that those fears don't exist. It's to bring them to God. It's to acknowledge them. It's to say, God, help me, I'm scared. But isn't it just fear that we can reach out to God and ask him to help us with? Sometimes we need to say this: God, help me, I'm confused. Remember in verse 8 of Psalm 143, he said, show me where to walk. He's asking for clarity. Saying, God, help me, I'm confused. I've been there. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I'm confused, God. I'm confused about whether I should take this new position in the company. Show me where to walk. I'm confused about whether this relationship is best. Show me where to walk. I'm confused about this newfound faith. Some of you, this is all new. You've started coming to church for the first time these last several months, and something's happening in you, and you feel your heart warming to God, and yet you're also confused. It also leaves you with questions, and you're sitting there going, God, I'm confused. Help me. Show me where to walk. God is not a God of confusion. He isn't playing mind games with us. He's not trying to hide and go, man, if you just decipher and get the code right, you'll find me. You'll know what I want for your life. No, God has plans for you. He has direction for your life. And he wants to lead you into fullness of life. And he invites us to come to him honestly in seasons of confusion and just say, God, help me, I'm confused. Show me where to walk. Sometimes it's, God, help me, I'm scared. Sometimes it's, God, help me, I'm confused. But then there's times where this is our God, help me prayer. God, help me, I'm overwhelmed. Parents, school's ending, kids are back in the home for 3 months. God, help me, I'm overwhelmed. Remember how David talked about it in verse 11? He said, bring me out of this distress. It's overwhelming me, this distress. This is just the general feeling of being in over our heads. It's when we face something that we know is just too big for us. Too big for us to carry on our own. And if we want to be honest to God about the things that we feel like are out of our control, it starts with facing the facts and just bringing it to God. God, help me. I'm scared. God, help me. I'm confused. God, help me. I'm overwhelmed. So you've got David facing an out-of-control moment in his life, and his impulse is to reach out to God for help. He starts with facing the facts, but he doesn't stop there. There's a second thing that David does. You know what he does? He asked God for what he wants, specifically. He asked God for what he wants. That's the second thing he does. He asked for what he wants. Do you remember what he said throughout that psalm we just read, throughout that prayer? Rescue me at one point. He said, answer me at one point. Show me where to walk. Silence my enemies. Destroy my foes. David's not trying to sanitize his prayers before coming to God, is he? He's not dancing around the issue. He's faced the facts, and now he is boldly asking God for what he wants. Get me out of this. That's what I want. He's doing exactly what Jesus invited us to do. He's asking and seeking and knocking. And I want you just for a second, I want you to just consider how vulnerable it is to pray like this. How vulnerable it is to say, God, here's exactly what I want. Here's the help I'm asking for. Do you know why it's vulnerable? Because what if it doesn't happen? What if God's silent? What if you tell him? What if you ask him, God, I want this, and it doesn't happen? See, one of the reasons we don't pray about the things we want to ask God to help us with is because sometimes we're afraid of what it will mean if God doesn't answer. What if it doesn't change? What if I ask and I make myself vulnerable and I ask for healing and it doesn't happen? But it's what I want. But what if it doesn't happen? What if I pray? What if we pray for children and we don't get them? What if I don't make the team? And I prayed that I would. What if I don't get the job? What if she doesn't come back? So you know what happens? We stop asking specific. We stop asking specifically. We build walls to protect ourselves from the very God we pray to. And we pray really safe prayers, nuancing them to make sure that we have walls up guarding us from being disappointed. But see, this misses the point of prayer. See, we don't pray, we don't ask in order to try to pull the right levers so that God will have to do something for us. We ask because we know God, and He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children, and He wants to know His children and our desires. And could you imagine, just imagine for a second, could you imagine if your children stopped talking to you about their desires? They stopped asking you for things just because you weren't going to give them every single thing they asked for? You would be heartbroken. David doesn't know how things are going to turn out. He has no assurance he's going to be rescued, but he makes himself vulnerable and he asks God specifically for what he wants and hopes for. David faces the facts and brings them before God. David asks for what he wants, and then he does one last thing in this God help me prayer that is so important. You know what he does? He remembers what is most true. Remember that great statement he made in the middle of Psalm 143? He said this. He said, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works, God. I think about them. I think about what you have done. See, he peppers throughout the prayer his own statements of trust. He mentions God's unfailing love twice. Did you catch it? He mentions God's faithfulness. He's thinking about who God is, God's nature, God's character. David's reminding himself of God's character and nature in the face of the circumstances that are scary and confusing and overwhelming. This is why engaging with the Bible is so important. This is why we read the Bible. This is why engaging with it is so important for our lives. Because when we do that, we're reminded of God's work in this world when it feels like He's not working in our world. And we declare that although we may not see it in the moment, we know that God's nature and character are good. This is why it can be so valuable to mark down the moment, to write them down in a journal or write them down in a post-it note, wherever. Write them down on your phone, wherever you need to do. Sometimes just mark it down, those moments when you've seen the evidence of God answering prayer in your life or working in your life. Why? Because there's going to be a season where it doesn't feel like that. And you can go back to those moments and go, man, God, I remember, I reflect, I ponder, I know that you were in it. You can pull them back out to remind yourself of what is most true. This is why we share stories all the time here of life change. Baptism stories. Stories on video. This is why we do this, because sometimes I need to be reminded that although God feels distant in this season and silent with me, I see the evidence of His work in others' lives. See, these things remind us of what is most true when it doesn't feel that way. And David says in his God help me prayer, I will choose to remember. It's a choice. I will choose to remember, to ponder, to meditate on what I've seen you do in the past. And you can sense that David experiences a peace through these words, can't you? He's reminded of who God is and who He is. There's no assurance that anything's going to change around him. No assurance of that. But something changes within him. He knows that God can be trusted. And his trust is not that the things around him will change. His trust is that God is good and has heard him and cares. A few weeks ago, I told you I went on a trip couple of weeks ago, and the day before I was going on that trip, I was with my five-year-old, Solomon. He's our youngest. And Solomon's been going through this thing. He's just real attached to me right now. Like, he's always kind of wondering where I'm at, and it's very, very sweet, but very, very attached. And so I'm like, I'm going on this trip, probably need to tell him, probably need to give him a heads up. And so I was in the kitchen and I said, hey, Solomon, I just want you to know, hey, tomorrow I'm going on this trip and I'm going to be gone for a few days. And so I'm kind of giving him a heads up. And his response, he starts saying, oh, okay. He starts talking real weird, like clinical language. He's like, okay, and you'll be gone for a few days. And he's like, he's looking off into the sky and he's talking in ways that he doesn't normally talk. He's like, and maybe you'll leave around this. And as he's saying all these things, I notice, man, his eyes are filling with tears. And I realize he's trying to distract himself. All these things he's just trying to distract himself from what he's feeling. And so I knew that he was feeling something real deeply. And so I stooped down, got eye to eye with him, and I said, "Hey, are you sad about me going on this trip?" And you know what he did? Shocker, he's 5. He threw a tantrum. You're surprised, aren't you? He started screaming. He hit me while asking me not to go. In only the way that a 5-year-old knows how to express himself when everything feels out of control. And what he can't see in that moment, what he couldn't see in that moment, is that although everything feels out of control for him, I know it won't last forever. And so I just held him. I didn't know what else to do. He's already hitting me. Might as well draw him close. And I just held him, and he kept crying and he kept screaming for a little bit. Kept letting me know he didn't want me to go. But after a minute or so of him lashing out, he just settled after exhausting himself in his father's arms. Nothing changed. I went on the trip. But something changed in him. See, he needed to lash out a little bit. He needed to get all that out so he could just rest. And can you imagine, as flawed and ungracious as I am as a father, and I am, and yet I was able to have that small little moment with my son, can you imagine how God, your perfect heavenly father, must feel about you when you kick and scream and yell and hit because things feel out of control? Do you think he condemns you for that? No. Do you think he's ashamed of you for that? No. He welcomes it because it means his kid is coming to him. He welcomes our honesty. He knows that we feel out of control. He knows we feel scared. He knows we feel confused and we feel overwhelmed. And he says, "Let me hold you. Just come to me. Bring it. You can kick and scream. My chest is big enough." Are you concerned about anything today? Is there anything that's got you concerned in life? Is there anything that's got you scared today? Is there anything that feels overwhelming for you? Is there anything that you desire that you've just felt too vulnerable to ask? Is there anything that's confusing you today? Then hear the voice of your good, faithful, and loving Heavenly Father inviting you today to come boldly and honestly to him, even if all you can muster is, "God, help me." That's a good place to start. He wants to hear from you. All of you, your deepest, darkest parts, your doubts, your struggles, your joys and your victories, because he just wants you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And if you find yourself today needing to crawl up in his arms and beat on his chest a little bit, he can take it. It may not change anything happening in your life, but you will find yourself changing. Because you'll discover what David discovered all those years ago. That God can be trusted with everything. Because his nature is good and faithful and so, so loving. So Heavenly Father, I realize that some of us today, we're carrying moments, we're in a season where things feel out of control. For some of us, it's big, 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 big stuff. For some of us, it's small. It really doesn't matter. Because you invited us to bring all, everything we have, big or small, to you. You just love us so much. We thank you that you are such a good Heavenly Father, a gracious God whose chest is big enough for us to crawl up into and to beat on a little bit and to lash out, to face the facts, to bring it before you, and then to remember that you're still good. So God, change us because we learn to trust your goodness, your love, no matter what we're facing. We pray that in your name, Jesus.